me. It's not about Eddie, but it's all about our Jesus that got a hold of us, just like everybody else in this room.
Amen.
And if you hear any good come out of me, and you see any fire in me, the fire's there for the taking for every one of us. We learned that last week, didn't we, those who were here, right? Oh, it's an honor to always speak for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I enjoyed being a pastor of evangelism in Kentucky, but last week I shared with y'all that when my daughter passed away, I asked God where he wanted me to go next, and I needed to be back here near my grandkids, and I knew God had called me back into this area. And I shared with you that I was at the Market of Marion on Saturdays and Sundays, and I would share the gospel along with flooring, my old trade. The Apostle Paul was a tent maker, I'm a carpet beggar, but my main mission was to get the gospel out.
Amen.
Whoever you are in life, whatever trade you're in, if you're a housewife, which is one of the highest callings, or if you're in the working field, that's a working field too, by the way. We were saved and we were called with a holy calling.
Amen.
Every one of us.
Amen.
And as I shared with you the other week, if God can use me and change me, he can change anybody. I know. Not everybody is an evangelist, but everybody is called to evangelize. Last week, we looked at, although it is on the handout, how many from last week have handouts? It raised your hand. And you don't need one, but otherwise Eddie has a handout that he would like to give to anybody who needs a handout, just raise your hand. Why don't we do it that way? And we'll wait till everybody gets that. Last week I shared with everybody, I'll talk while he's handing them out, just a simple way that you can share your faith, and that is through the power of a gospel tract. We actually launched out, the Holy Spirit through you all, launched out last week with a new gospel tract. I shared with you about I shared with you that the body of Christ where I'd been in Kentucky had never passed out a gospel tract. But the 2 years I was there, they ended up passing out 20,000 gospel tracts. It was a church of 350, 400 max. And over that two-year period, the body of Christ exploded to 750 and sometimes topping out over 800. And I truly believe that the main catalyst was they began to keep the main thing, and everywhere they went, they sowed the seed of the gospel. And the most contagious tract that I've ever known has a little smile on it. And all you have to do is walk up to somebody and say, "Can I give you a smile to match your smile?" And watch what happens. Now, when I was in Kentucky, I saw that the Spirit of God, the catalyst was there within that body for literally an explosion to take place with the fire of God in their hearts. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "And ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." And I share with you that I cry out to God to give me the fire to witness. And everybody, if you pray upon that precious promise, God promises to meet you there, is what my dad used to say. Pray upon a precious promise like that. I pray that every day. Give me the fire to witness. I told you in the year 2000, in fact, I didn't tell you this. I was in Pastor Gary's office at the beginning of the year 2000. We would share our, our spiritual goals as accountability partners before he was ever, and I told you, we knew each other, you know, long before Grace Tabernacle. But we would share, and it was that year that he gave me a book on fresh wind and fresh fire. And that was also the year that I went back to where my family first met God, and I also read a little booklet on the men, the evangelists of the 1800s, how they prayed for the fire to witness, and the Spirit of God would come upon them. And that was the year that I made a vow to God that I would not go to sleep without sharing my faith every single day. Last week, y'all prayed. There was two prayers I had that we talked about, and then we, in one accord, and if you look in the book of Acts, okay, you're going to see that in one accord, the body prayed. It just wasn't the 11. It was the body that prayed. They said there was approximately 120 people there at that particular time. And with a mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire, the Holy Spirit came down on them with the power to witness. And after that, the ushering in of all the other gifts. So last week, and I believe the catalyst is greater here, okay, than what I saw in Kentucky, and I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. Do you know that I came in here last week with 900 of these? 900. And here's a good temperature gauge. Uh-oh. Hold on just a minute.
Just fill out. You put it in your pocket. It's the best place.
All right. Yeah. I get all shook up. Hey, Eddie, can you play that one for me?
All right. You can just drop it in your pocket, bro. That's
all right. Fine. Thank you.
It'll work.
I walked in here with 900 of these. I had these for about a week, so probably because I gave some to my brother, I gave some to Eddie. So we probably passed out about 100, but watch this. I came in here with 900. And I told you, and in fact, tonight, again, I want you to at least go out with two in your hand. And I said, just simply go out and share your faith. And I told you, too, that I know many of you already do, because I'm here to challenge you, and you challenge me. Let's take it to a higher level. But at the same time, if you haven't shared your faith too much, we'll share with you simple ways to do so. But do you know that when I went home and I had my box and I was organizing my tracks, I only have 350 left. What'd y'all do, eat them? Or did you pass them out? Oh, and I also told you that the body, the nucleus of this body right here, could be so contagious. So contagious, if we just pray for the fire to witness. And there was one other prayer I had, and that was that each one of us, between now and the new year, we would desire to bring one soul to Grace Tabernacle. Just one. Because after you get one, you want another. And then you'll want another. But what if this spills over into the rest of the body? You talk about a fresh wind and a fresh fire, God will come down and consume this place. I want to see this mighty man of God preach to a full house.
Amen.
And it will happen.
Me too. Amen.
All right. I also told you that on the average, only 2% of Christians share their faith. Everybody that shared their faith last week, stand up.
Amen. Okay.
Whoa.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And some of you weren't here last week, okay? So this week, you're going to share your faith. But the idea was 2% share their faith. In reality, some weren't here last week, but realized that probably close to 40 to 50% of the body of Christ stood up tonight. Amen. This is just the beginning. It's just where we start. My brother,
I haven't had enough music. Will you lead me to some soul today?
I will.
He's going to play a little song, and while he plays that, it's a prayer. And we played it last week. There's a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. But then, that's how we begin. But then lead us to just one soul today. Teach us, Lord, just what to say.
Lead me to some soul to say. Teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. For those who seem to care, a few of those who pray, melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today. Lead me to some soul to say. Teach me, Lord, just what to say. 'Cause friends of mine are lost in sin, cannot find their way. Few are there who seem to care, few there are that pray. So melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today. So melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today. One soul today.
Amen. Amen. I agree.
As many as you see fit to send my way.
Simple ways tonight to share your faith and the power of God like we did last week. But then what I'm going to do is at the end of this service, okay, I want you to share what God did through you. Okay? I think there's a few more. In fact, this young lady back here, by the way, I had the honor to see her come to the Lord years ago. She was one of my young secretaries. She's still a young lady. She brought her sister with her tonight.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful.
Matt, if you go ahead and show the pictures.
Good.
You're welcome. Folks, the time is short. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with the time that we have left on this earth? I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back soon.
Amen.
Matt, that's not the one I wanted you to show, but we can go ahead and go back over that.
Just tell me which one you need, brother.
It was two little children. Although, how many people know Nicole? Remember how we talked last week?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say it again. When you go to Walmart, look for Nicole and give her a smile face, okay? Because I shared with them last week that I was taking pictures of different ones in Walmart who I built a relationship with. But this time around, I had several pictures of different ones at Walmart. But when I shared with Nicole this time, she looked at me, and for the first time she said to me, she says, "Where do you go to church?" Hmm. She said, "I'd like to come visit with you." She's a hurting lady. She's been abused. Hmm. And I've built a friendship with her over the years. So pray for her. But if two or three of you, and she's there a lot in the checkout lines, if you will give her a smile and somebody else gives her a smile? Remember how I told you about different ones that I gave a smile to, and then later on they meet me or somebody else and give them one, they end up coming to church.
Amen.
Remember I also told you got grandkids? Okay, this is my two little people that I wanted to be back up on the screen again this week. You know, oftentimes send your grandchildren in front of you and see what happens, because when they see those sweet little faces, you can't help but melt them down. Remember, this gospel tract, I believe in multiplied seed. This gospel tract that we have in our hands, you actually have a 24-hour prayer line. It's also an invitation to Grace Tabernacle. There's directions on the back. And then there is the gospel. So it's threefold as you give it out. Go ahead. Hopefully she's given. That's what I wanted you to see. Remember when we were talking about, as Eddie sang that song tonight, when we reach out? And I know you all saw Philip's face last week. But this was on US1 for those that weren't here. But I wanted him to come back up on the screen. It's not always the lovely that we gotta love. And when the Spirit of God speaks to you, look beyond it all. And this man had all of his belongings, and he was on US1 working his way in the heat. Of course, I'm a fisherman, and I was heading out fishing, but the Holy Spirit said, go back and give him a cup of cool water in Jesus' name. And I walked up and gave it to him, and I looked at him, and I said, mister, I want to give you a cup of cool water in Jesus' name. And he said, thank you, mister. And I asked him what his name was. His name was Philip. After I talked with him for a while, okay, I then presented the gospel to him. But he did know the Lord. He was a veteran. He had money. He wasn't begging. He just was walking along the road there. But you just don't know. But take the time out. Go ahead. She gave you a new set of pictures, Matt. And see if you can see the one that there's a pickup truckload of Mexicans. Do you have that one? By the way, wherever you're at, put it at the gas pump. We talked about that last week. Matt, see if you have the one with the truckload of Mexicans. Do you have that? No? Okay. She was supposed to give that to you, but that's all right. This young lady I shared last week, this was in Kentucky. Her family came to me, and they said, there's no hope for our daughter. I listened to what they had to say, and I said, let's pray, and then I want you to deliver a message. And the message was, I had, at that time, before I modified it, I had this little booklet with smiley faces on. That's what the church in Kentucky gave out, 20,000 of them. And I said, will you go deliver this to your daughter? And they looked at me and they said, oh no, she won't accept that. And I said, hey, did I not just pray with you? And I said, the power of God will go before you. You just deliver the message. And so they went home, and their daughter, Miss Rose, was sitting at the kitchen table, and they walked in the house, and they said, dear, this man, we saw him, and he told us just to give you a smile to match your smile. Okay, and she looked at him, and she burst out crying. Because 2 or 3 weeks ago, before that, she was in a restaurant, stoned out of her head. She still doesn't remember what restaurant. But somebody walked up to her and said, you need to call this man. His phone number is in that little book. So the Holy Spirit has sent her a second smiley face. Matt, I want you to go to... You might have it listed. It'll be an older lady, and I'm standing behind her, and we'll pick up from there. When we were talking about loving the unlovable, I'll tell you the other one I had up there, and then all the rest of these are going to be new. But at least that refreshed, but at the same time, for those who weren't here last week, it shows you opportunities that you have to witness. But literally in Mexico, in the middle, about 9 o'clock at night in the dark, I was in a parking lot, and when you go up to the grocery store in Mexico, they actually have armed guards with automatic weapons, because they never know when a gang truckload of bandits are going to come in there and bust that place down. So as we got out to get groceries on a missions trip, I saw a truckload of Mexicans in the back. There were 8 of them. And so I just went across the parking lot, went right up to them, Dios le bendiga, you know? I just gave them, and we had Spanish smiley faces, okay? All right, so when I walked up to him, all of a sudden, one guy broke out in English. He says, oh, hermano. He says, we be at a facility, and we overcome addictions, and we know Jesus. You know, so, see, you don't know.
Amen.
You don't know what you're going to run into, but God said, go talk to them. By the way, on different occasions, I actually had the honor to birth a church where there was no church twice out in the back countries of Mexico. But one time, I'll never forget this, I usually ordered 4,000 gospel tracts when I was going to Mexico, and we would go take the gospel out. But I'll never forget when we birthed this church one time, we had a pamphlet that we would pass out to invite them to come to this church where we had rented a building. And I'll never forget me and one of my brothers, and literally they'd travel around in SUVs with automatic weapons, protecting the community. And we're out there trying to remember, will we figure our way back? But anyway, we had one last pamphlet left, gave it to a man to invite him to the church, and that night when the church was birthed, the last pamphlet, gotcha? When the church was birthed, the first person to come forward and ask Jesus Christ into their heart was this man. We could have turned around with one pamphlet in our hand, but that was the pamphlet that led the first person to Christ.
Wow. Wow.
This is my 94-year-old mom. She lives in Orlando. Her last name, her maiden name, is Livingstone. She's a direct descendant of David Livingstone. Many of you will know who that is. We were celebrating her 95th birthday. And as a family, whenever we part ways, whether it was with my relatives, my grandparents in Pennsylvania, or whether I was going into the service, or when I went to school, or whatever it was, as a family, we'd always hold hands and pray this prayer. The Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters, and he restores our soul. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you have no reason to fear evil.
Amen.
For he's with us. His rod and staff comfort us. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our head with oil. Our cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and one day we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So there we were, holding those little fragile hands as we circled her. And if you walk in the room, the things that she retains, the little lips were going, and the little lips were saying the 23rd Psalm. The next minute, she might not know where she's at. But if you play Christian music for her, or if you give her a favorite verse, she picks up on it. And then I prayed. I said, oh God, faith of our father and mother's holy faith, may we be true to you till death. And we loved and hugged and kissed, and we took out the remains of the food with a family member. I was outside with my brother-in-law. Next picture, Matt. As we walked outside, this young man came walking down the street. By the way, my mom doesn't live. The home that I grew up in, the home that I came to know Jesus Christ in at 8, is this little home in Azalea Park about 20 years ago was nicknamed Heroin Alley. And my dad went home to be with the Lord years ago, but my mom has stayed in that community, and there's literally gunfire in the community every single week. There's bullet holes in the walls of some of the homes. My sister and I had the honor to start a Bible club there years ago. Some kids came to beat her up because they saw her backyard was nice and had a bunch of toys for her grandkids, and they came to beat her up. And she met them in the front yard, and they said, "Hey, look, if you don't mess this up," and she says, "I still can't believe these words came out of my lips." She said, but I looked at them, I said, "Look, if you don't mess things up, I'll throw an Easter egg hunt for you at Easter." And she thought, "What in the world did I just do?" So sure enough, she threw an Easter egg hunt. She put John 3:16 in the eggs along with candy, and it started a Bible club. And she says, "You got to get down here, Phil." She says, "You can't believe what's going on in the neighborhood." I'll shorten it, but had the honor to see 8 come to know Christ. There are some of them, by the way, when people come to know Christ, if you can, it's one thing like this, I'll back up. There are some of those young people that are grown up today, and they still love Jesus, and they still share their faith, and they are just on fire for God. Then there are others, and in fact, I won't go into detail, but I will say even there is a Latin king that rules the drug world down there in that community. But at Christmas time, they'll come by the house to thank Aunt Donna or Miss Donna for all that she does in the community. And then they'll go back on the streets. Some of them come with fingers cut off. Some of them come with bullet hole in their arm. But they still come. And she'll look at them and she'll say, "Oh, but I've taught you the truth." And she'll witness to them. So as I leave the house at my mom's birthday, this young man's walking down the street. And he says to me, he says, "Mr., where is John Smith or whatever, where does he live?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "But I grew up in this neighborhood." And I said, "My mom still lives here." And I said, "But hold on just a second." I said, "Let me go back to my truck." And I said, "Can I give you a smile to match your smile?" And he said, "Thank you, mister." And he began to share with me he was from Lake County. I said, "Well, I come all the way down here to talk to you." I said, "I'm from Lake County too." I actually got out my Bible. It's a little bit bigger than this, and these are one of the tools that I'll talk to you about tonight. These are actually called Soul Winner New Testament. And if you take a look at your sheet on the back, the last page of your sheet, and they may have split it up just a little bit, but there are actually the third and fourth pages. There are verses, in fact, begins at the bottom of the second page. These are eight verses in your Bible that you need to mark. And when I've taught witnessing and soul winning classes, I teach people, and I told you about the lady last week that stuttered and she couldn't get it out, but she met a lady at the laundromat. She said, "I'm not too good at this, but I want to talk to you about Jesus." And she says, "I want to take you to this one," and it marked number one, little tabs, and underline the verse. But let the person read the verse.
Right, there you go.
Let the word get through. It's like I told you, no eloquent word is going to get through that I can come up with or you can come up with, but the word of God is what's quick and powerful.
Amen. Yes, it is.
And so sure enough, he read through there, and this young man was shook up. I won't tell you the whole details in his life. He wasn't out for anything except, actually, he was trying to find his father because he'd been away from his father for years. And so he moved to Orlando from up here in Lake County, and it wasn't working out. And so I ended up, I looked at him, and folks, you don't want to pick ripe fruit, but the Holy Spirit will tell you when. But I did look at that young man, and I said, "Young man, Todd is his name." I said, "If you die today, are you 100% sure of going to heaven?" He says, "No, sir, I'm not." He said, "But before I could ever get out," he said, "but I want to be sure." And I said, "Well, you got 10 minutes. I said, according to the authority of God's word, I said, you can know for sure. And that young man bowed his head and asked Christ in his heart to save him.
Amen.
Yes!
Amen.
But watch this. Also in vision is you pass out gospel tracts, you don't know where that track goes.
That's right.
I shared with the group that was here last week about a man called the Bug Man, Tony Colico. And his wife had the track, read it, or did something with it, threw it in the trash. Tony comes home to take the trash out. The track falls. This is a personal friend. The track falls out of the bag. He reads the track, comes to know Christ. He goes on a mission trip his first year after coming to know Christ. And while they're in Romania, they're witnessing to this group of people, plus they're building a building for them. But Tony says, how about those people over there? It's just like that song tonight that Eddie sang. How about those people over there? And they said, oh, don't mess with them. They're gypsies. He says, what do you mean? They need to know about Jesus too. So he ends up witnessing to him. But that man today, at least the last time I talked with him, he could have more, has 10 gypsy churches. Just because a crumpled up track fell out of a trash bag. So folks, I encourage you to have leaky seed baskets. Don't be afraid to pass. Well, what am I doing? You aren't afraid to pass it out. I know you all. I only ended up with 350. Whoa. God love your hearts. Next. Next picture, Matt. In Kentucky, we'd have like a Halloween party and drew over 2,000 people to the square, and we'd have games and hot dogs, but drew them in, and I would be there evangelizing, ministering. We had a team of people trained to share their faith. And I just want to share that she was actually at the Halloween party wearing a smiley face. Next. This guy has a smile on his face. And there's going to be a few people in here that recognize him. Most of us won't. But this was a man who was contagious and always had a smile on his face. And he used to be here at Grace Tabernacle, but he went home to be with the Lord. George is his name. Next. I just had to throw him in there. Because there he is in yellow, and he always had the biggest smile on his face. And he loved God, and he served God. I told y'all last week, that when I was in Kentucky, one day I got a phone call, and they said, we found your daughter's body in Oxford. And I came down for the homegoing service. And shared in that service. And it was just a few months after that I knew I needed to come home and be around my grandkids. I actually spent 48 hours in prayer asking God where he wanted me to go. And I knew I needed to be here. I won't go into detail. I shared it with you all last week. Even an office was given to me, a minister out of it, a brand new building. But I have to tell you something. Before I left to go to Kentucky, I was at Vinny's Wings. And the waitress, by the way, I even shared with you all last week about a waiter at Cody's restaurant. And I gave him a track at the beginning. Later on, he fell under conviction near the end. He just came crying to my table. He says, mister, I need help. And I started talking with him. And I said, well, where do you go to church at? He said, Grace Tabernacle. And I said, well, when's the last time you were there? I knew he hadn't been there too often, you see what I mean? But you never know when the power of God, just because you delivered the message at the beginning, will, while they're serving you, they might have looked at it, or the Holy Spirit begins to convict them, and then all of a sudden it goes farther than giving them a smile. I shared with you last week how one day after birth in the women's center in Kentucky, and a whole group of us went into a restaurant, and I walked up to the waitress and I said, can I give you a smile to match your smile? And she looked at me and burst out crying. She says, I need Jesus, and I need Jesus now, right in the middle of the restaurant. That doesn't happen every time, but you don't know what's going to happen. But in this particular case, Vinny's Wings, I gave this waitress, her name is Sarah, I gave her a track at the beginning. As I leave the restaurant, and I'm getting ready to get in my car, I hear, mister, would you pray with me? She came out of the restaurant. I said, yes. I said, what are your needs? There were some issues in her life, and I prayed with her, and I gave her my phone number. And she ended up having to go away for just a little bit, and then I was able to get her over to the Christian Care Center at First Baptist as I left town. And then I met her mom, and every once in a while we just keep in contact. How's Sarah doing? And Sarah would struggle. And then I didn't hear from her mom for a while. And then I'd hear from her. And then I wouldn't hear for a while. Well, I hadn't heard from the mom in a while, but I came to town. I came to town to share in the homegoing service of my daughter. And when I got done, by the way, I was here for 48 hours, and the Holy Spirit, the whole time I was here, was saying, where is Sarah? How is Sarah doing? I didn't have her mom's number or anything, but it was like God did not leave me alone. By the way, that happens to me every few weeks, and then something happens. In this particular case, I kept praying. I can't bring my daughter back. But I can pour my life out into other people who are suffering. And I can stare into the faces of young men and young women and say, you don't want to put your parents through the pain that I've had to go through in the loss of my daughter. At the same time, I can encourage parents, don't give up. Don't give up. So I left the homegoing service, wondering where Sarah's at, and I walk into the Bob Evans that doesn't exist in Leesburg anymore, and this waitress walks up to me and goes, do I know you from somewhere? And I told her who I was, and she goes, oh my God, I'm Sarah. You know, and there we met, and I began to help her. And I won't go into the details, but all I can say is today, she has her children with her. She's in Virginia. And her husband is with her. And they are following Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All over the fact I could have gone in the restaurant, ate my wings, and left. I could go over this way. As you go.
That's right.
As you go.
No, that's right.
I don't want to put her on the spot. I'm not going to ask her to say anything. Okay? Remember how I told you the other week? Pray. Pray between now and the new year. God, give me one soul to bring to Christ. Give me the fire to witness. Pray that every day. And until God consumes you with it, begin to see this as a lost and dying world. Somebody reached out to you.
That's right.
Somebody reached out to me. And 34 out of the 40 people who came to know to Christ for healing, they were brought by a friend. 34 out of 40. Sarah's mom, she doesn't have to stand up, but she's sitting right beside you now.
Oh, wow.
She's a godly woman.
Yeah.
A godly woman, and I thank God. God has answered her prayers.
Wow.
Continues to minister to her two daughters, and to her. Precious lady of God. Thank you, Matt. See what time it is, because I want to save y'all time so you can share. Oh, 7:26 off, still good. By the way, if you want more tracks, I've got more. Thank you, Sean. He's ordering 1,000 more. Oh, and now I can't think of his name, and I know Quentin. Quentin is on vacation. Quentin was supposed to get me 5,000 of them, okay? And I'm going to call back and say, give me 10,000. Oh, if there's a question you have, I'm only sharing with you simple ways to share your faith. And I share with you the verse, and you look these notes over that I gave you, because if my people which are called by my name will humble ourselves, seek my face, and turn from our wicked way. And I think the most wicked way that I saw, I'm talking to myself first. This is what convicted me. I'm sharing with you what convicted me And I began to pray for that fire to witness. Oh, one night I'll share with you how God literally began to target me that way. But if we'll turn from our wicked way of not witnessing, we'll hear from God.
Amen.
And what if this body keeps on doing it until it overflows and spills into the rest? And if you don't know all the words to say, just say, the man that I told you about the other week that leads his soul to Christ every day of his life, okay, for 16 years, the only time he missed it, I think, was in the hospital under sedation. I happened to show up from Kentucky just in time to move from his chair to his bed when this happened to him. But the first, when he came to know the Lord, in fact, you asked me last week after the service, Jacob, you said, what do? I got to learn to share my faith. Simple. Look at those verses. Ask God to give you the words to speak, but look at those 8 verses, okay? But then begin to, you know, when you're dealing with the soul, smile and master smile. Later we will look at how Jesus shared his faith.
That's the best example.
And oftentimes it's just casual conversation. Then from the casual conversation it passes over into it. But I got to share with you this. When Glendy Hamilton, I told you about him, the gentleman on Paramore in Orlando, when he first came to know Christ, in fact, I talk with him almost every week, but the man told him, now that you know, you need to go share your faith every day. That's what the guy told him,
so he didn't know any better. Okay?
And that was what it was in Kentucky, too. When I lead people to Christ, now I'd say, now you got to go share your faith. If you're truly a Christian, you'll begin to share your faith. You know, he's going to be Lord. He's going to rule your life. He's going to rule your thought pattern. You're going to want to grow. Otherwise, you just prayed a prayer and you think it was just hocus pocus and magic and it's not going to happen. I said, you got to be serious about this. But Glennie Hamilton, when he came to know Christ, guy told him he needed to share his faith. And Glennie Hamilton, the next morning, comes walking down the sidewalk, sees another guy coming out, and all of a sudden he says, Jesus! That's all he said. But that was it. He didn't know what else to do, but at least he got the words Jesus out. Oh, my. Oh. I give you simple examples. I gave you one last week, didn't I? Okay, what was it? Anybody remember? Last chance. Tell you, when I walk on an airplane, I walk down the aisle, everybody goes, and I look at people when I'm walking down the aisle, you know, and they see the words last chance on it. Of course, on the back it says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. That's serious stuff. But be a walking billboard when you want to be, okay? You know, I wore this one tonight because I'm going to give you an example, because real soon we're going to pick on the body of Christ here at Grace Tabernacle, and we're going to come up with a contagious shirt.
Amen.
You know, just this past week, Pastor Gary says somebody called him, and there was a smiley face in Eustace.
Sonny's in Eustace's bathroom.
Sonny's in Eustace's bathroom. Yeah. Somebody hit, who hit that one? Oh. I should share with you this one, because this one gets this. I get more, yay, yay, yay. You know, unbelievable. Of course, on the back, as it was in the days of Noah, is what it says. Mm. So shall it be when the Son of Man comes. Mm-hmm. Okay? So be a walking billboard when you want to. I'm not saying, watch this. Please don't be me. Don't be Pastor Gary. I can't be Eddie. Man, I can't play a lick. The only thing I can play is the radio. But God gave each one of us talents. I even know a lady, her name was, I know of a missionary, one of them. I told you about the one in Romania. I know another one that went to Thailand to lepers. But he knows a lady in the mountains, and the guy came to know Jesus, and he went down on the street corner in Chattanooga, and I can't remember the main, but it's the main street down there, and all they had was a big family Bible. And there was a beautiful brown man on the other corner with a guitar with one string on it, and the guy was singing Amazing Grace. So they both looked at each other and said, we're going to make a team. But that guy, okay, you talk about a man that shares his faith, but he told me about a woman that never was able, as a child, was crippled and never got out of her bed. Her name was Annie Connolly. But she would take the phone book and she would dial numbers and she would talk with people. My name is Annie Connolly. You don't know me, but just sweet little voice. And when the day came for her to go home to be with the Lord, and they had a service for her, they say up the little mountainside through the holler, you couldn't count the people. Okay? So just ask God.
That's right.
Give you that fire. Don't be filled. Don't be intimidated. You don't have to run in here wearing a t-shirt when you don't feel like it. But ask God, how can you've got a mission field.
That's right.
I've got a mission field. Some of our mission field overlaps, but some of it doesn't. And a question that I had to ask God, and I'll ask you, and I'm not trying to ever intimidate you or anything, will your mission field end up in heaven, or will it end up in hell? You know, there's a day, and Eddie's even said it to me, and I think he's even said it in ministry, and it's the fact that he told me, he says, I used to play music for the world, and it's all in vain. He says, now I play music for Jesus, and it all counts. Mm-hmm. It all counts. So just live a life, but ask God, show me, give me the fire. Show me, Holy Spirit, fill me with the fire of witness. Psalm 91, pray, because we want to get more of these. But in the Market of Mary, and I would give these out, and I give an invitation to come to Grace Tabernacle. And when God closed that door, that's why I can now be here on Sundays. But I would put an invitation to Grace in it. But I'll never forget, my well ran dry on getting these. And I had a lady call me on this phone number, okay? Because back then, it didn't have Grace Tabernacle. It had the gospel and had my phone number on it. And I said, God, you know, I know the brook ran dry. My brook ran dry on 91. I've only got one left. And this lady calls me and says, Mister, you remember me? And she told me your name. She said, you're going to be in the market. She said, I need another one of those Psalm 91 books. She said, I don't want to give mine away. She said, but there's this lady. She hadn't been going to church. She quit going to church because she said she got away from God. She was in the Bahamas and her son was murdered down there. And she won't come back in the doors of the church. But when I was sitting down with her, she saw my Psalm 91 book and she started reading it. And I thought to myself, well, I'm going to give the last one away to her. I got to. That day, a man came through the Market of Marion and he saw my, because I sell flooring, but then I have Christian items. And he looked at me and he says, I like these Christian items you have. He says, wait a minute. He says, I got something in my truck for you. He went back out to his truck and brought me a box in, and I opened it up. Psalm 91. Yes. Yeah.
Woo! Yes! Yeah. By the way, you know, some I try to be calm and I don't want to yell because I know you don't need to yell. But you know what? Woo! Yes! Sorry, I hope I didn't hurt anybody's eardrums. And really, that's nothing, okay? Because inside of me, I just, that is, it's hard to hold it down for Jesus.
We will get a few more of these. Now, these you don't pass out like the little track because we're trying to work to get these. It's a foundation. We got to write the right type of letter to get them. But it's powerful, I'm telling you. And I also shared with you the tool of the little Bible. I'll be getting more of these, but they're actually soul winner Bibles if you want them. You can stick one in there, and it actually, I mean, it lays it out. Not just eight verses either, okay? So we'll get more of these. And then we'll determine, and if you want to go put some on some doors, there's Grace Tabernacle. I can't do it every Saturday, but I told you how we knocked on every door in Fruitland Park and went through Leesburg. Took 2.5 years to do it. And that ministry still goes on in another church. But this little book right here, this little book, I went to China last year, just a little over a year ago. And I had two partners. I'm hoping that partner will be here last week. He was Buddhist in background. And when I started at Masterpiece Flooring, it took about a year. He kept asking questions. And then one day, he came to know Christ, and I gave him his first Bible. He'll be here this next week. That's what I'm hoping for. But when we went to China, we had a devotional. This devotional, okay, I'll never forget. Each day we read the word together and we'd ask God to empower us. Because it's business ministry wherever you go. You've got to be careful over there what you do. But I'll never forget one of the owners, before he left, about a month before he left, his white count shot off the charts. And everybody at work, his relatives were crying. I said, and his mother-in-law says, he's dying. I said, hey, I said, I'm not trying to be rude to y'all. I said, but I rebuke that. I said, he ain't dying. I said, let's pray over him. And we prayed over him, okay? He didn't tell me that just before we went to China that he had another blood test taken. So while we're in the airport in Dallas before we shoot all 19 or more hours to China, all of a sudden he turns his phone on and he gets a message from the doctor's office. And he looked at me and he says, Phil, he says, I got the report back from the doctor. My white count's perfect. We're in the Dallas airport. Everybody's around us. And Ed, get to your knees with me. And we said, I don't care. You know, I mean, I didn't yell it out loud, but I said, God, thank you so much for healing my brother.
Amen.
God, you've answered our prayers. You hear our cries. Amen. Help us to be all we can be. You know, right there in the airport are our knees. I get on the airplane. Later on, he's sleeping, and I open up the journal or the diary because it's dated. It's for a couple days out of each month. And I read it, and he's sleeping. And this is what it says. Do you know that you have an inheritance from the Lord? He has divine health just for you. You can have it, but there is one condition. That is to love God and love your neighbor. Like tonight in the music. That's what it's all about. I need to share with you sometime about loving your neighbor and loving God. Correct? Remember on Sunday? Spend time with God, be obedient to his word, sit and talk with him. He's your friend and he will not judge you or turn away from you. He's an all-loving God. Settle all bitterness once and for all so you can walk in your inheritance. And here's the verse. And remember, Ed just got the report. He's sleeping. I wanted to go there and shake him and wake him up. He says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I brought into the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I kept looking back over to see when he wake up. When he woke up, I said, you need to see this. Oh, in the middle of the night, I'm reading my Bible. First off, this Chinese woman said, Mister, can I trade seats with you? I said, yeah. She said, bad headed. I said, no problem. Mine you can stretch out. Her, she had to sit up the whole way. I said, come on. I said, but can I do something? Can I pray over you that God will heal you? Yes. I said, I'm going to put my hands on your head. I said, I'm going to pray over you. I said, I'm going to touch pressure points. I said, but I'm going to pray that I believe that either it will decrease or it will totally go away after I pray over you. Prayed over her, and all of a sudden her head goes like this in the seat. She goes, thank you, mister. And I gave her a little booklet because the universal language to make money is English, okay? And I gave that to her, okay? But then in the middle of the night, the stewardess is going around. And the stewardess sees me reading my Bible, and she says, I like that. I said, I do too, it's my heart. And later on, I get up to go to the restroom a few hours later, because we've got 19 hours in the air. And I went over to the stewardess, and I said, I don't know why I said, but I want to give you this book on forgiveness. Go ahead. I'll give that one to you tonight. And I told her, I said, let me tell you a story of what happened to me on an airplane one time. And I said, God has called you. This is your mission field. And she started crying. She said, I don't know why I'm crying. I said, it's the Holy Spirit bearing down on you. I said, let me share with you a story. I said, I was coming back from a trip from San Diego, pulling into, I think it was Dallas again. And they said, fasten your seat belts, put your seats upright, get ready for landing. And all of a sudden, these two stewardess came to me and they said, Mister, unfasten your seatbelt. We need you to come to the front of the airplane because there's a stewardess on board and he doesn't know Jesus, and we know you know Jesus. So will you come up here and talk to him? So I actually went up to the front, and I'm holding onto the pole while we're going down. You know, I told him, I said, don't have my Bible out, but every word that's going to come out of me, these are scriptures that I've memorized. You know, and gave him the gospel right there. And he asked Christ in his heart to save him, and the plane landed. Woo! You just don't know. And then I looked at her and I said, now, you can't share it as boldly as I can because I understand you work for another company. I said, but there's opportunities just like those two stewardesses. They were so thirsty to see their friend come to know Christ. I said, so you pray that the power of God come upon you to be the witness you're supposed to be on this airplane. And I prayed over and just cried. I could share with you also that book on forgiveness, because I gave you that book on forgiveness. When we got to China, we were visiting different places, and the first place we went into, there was a lady that represented a company, and she represented it real well. But my young, I call him young grandfather Pompano, but anyway, I won't tell you why until next week. But he brought his devotion to the meeting, and is sitting on the table. So halfway through the presentations of the products that we're looking at, my one partner walks out to use the restroom, and the Chinese girl says, what's that book? I said, and Ed, the young Christian, goes, ask him. So I began to share with her. I said, each to his own and what they believe. I said, so I respect you for your beliefs in your country. I said, but that book is about the greatest forgiveness ever, Jesus Christ. I believe he was the Son of God. I believe he came to this earth and he died and he rose from the dead. And I said, he can give you peace in your heart. She says, I have no peace. She says, my friends that share about God, she says, some of them are in jail. And I said, you can have peace. I said, the first verse in that book is my 94-year-old mom's favorite verse. He will keep you in perfect peace. And in the original language is peace, peace. It's the only time it appears that way. Whose mind is stayed on thee if you want to trust in him. I'll never forget at the end of the presentation, my partner came back, she finished her presentation. I said, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the way you represent your country. I said, you're very kind to us. I said, I'm only going to a few other places. I said, but we will get back with you. But can I give you a free gift? And I gave her the book on forgiveness, and she started to cry. I said, ma'am, simple faith. I said, we're going to go back over this again. And I said, if you want it, you can receive him in simple faith. And she received Christ in her heart. That was Grace Tabernacle halfway around the world, because these booklets I received from Grace while I was in the market of Marion. Then she looked at me and she says, I'm going to teach my husband to read English out of that book. Whoa. I'm going to stop. I could tell you more, but...